Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to another episode of Israel Now Radio Show. This is your host, Yahshua. Thanks again for everyone for listening, as you do from week to week, and joining me. Just want to, first and foremost, give an all praise and honor to the Most High Yahweh. In this holy season that we are coming upon, we have already arrived at, shall I say. The new year already passed. We have Passover coming up on Friday at even. So, you know, everybody, just start making your preparations for getting the leaven out of your houses and things like that. Which is another part of the commandment as far as for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But so yeah, Passover will be coming up Friday at even. Also, just wanted to welcome everyone out to come and join us in fellowship each and every Sabbath day and on all the holy days, where we meet every Sabbath day at 270 Northland Boulevard, Suite 105, Cincinnati, Ohio, every Sabbath day at 2 p.m. Also join our brothers in Texas, down in Fort Worth, Texas, at 2700 Village Creek Drive, Fort Worth, Texas, starting at 11 a.m. every Sabbath day. Just a couple other things I wanted to announce. For those that are not aware, I'll be having a debate coming up. Listen in tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the radio show, which is on Blog Talk Radio, just as this show is on Blog Talk Radio. The show is called Debate Talk for You. A lot of Israelites around the country may be familiar with this show. So I'll be on there tomorrow at 8 p.m. Debate Talk for You tomorrow, 8 p.m., debating a topic: can someone die for someone else's sins? The call-in number, you know, call in. Should be a time towards the end that the listener audience can call in, ask their questions, make their comments, and things like that. You know, pretty much want y'all to call in and support the Almighty truth that we're presenting. You know, because a lot of Old Testament-only brothers are claiming that the Messiah did not die for our sins, and because they're claiming that no one can die for no one else's sins, they say that the scripture, it's impossible for that to happen, and the scriptures don't teach that. So that's what we're going to go into. So I'm going to give you guys the call-in number, which is area code 319-527-6239. That will be the call-in number for tomorrow on Debate Talk for You, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, that number is 319-527-6239. So, again, just, you know, make sure you call in and listen and just check that out. Should be very good, very informative, you know, very, should be edifying for the people, hopefully. That's what we always aim to do. But let me go to my first caller, and let me see if I can get this brother on the air. I think he was one. So, area code 817, shalom, shalom.
Shalom, brother. I did that by mistake. I was trying to type in the number to debate to debate talk tomorrow. I was trying to type it in, save it in my phone. So I'm sorry about that. This is
okay,
our brother.
Bro. All right, brother. All right, no problem. No problem.
All right.
Right, right. All right, brother. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
All right, so, so I just want to, you know, just be very brief today. And like I said, join us tomorrow. Should be very good, very enlightening, very edifying for the people. You know, what I want to do today, touch on maybe whatever topics come to mind. One thing I want you all to continue to try to wake up our brothers and sisters who do not know who we are, who do not know who the Most High Yahweh is. Right now, you know, like I said, we're in this holy season, and earlier I was just looking through some things and online and things like that, and just wanted to make this statement that we want to bring to our people is that the Passover is mentioned throughout the scriptures. Easter is not mentioned nowhere in the scriptures, right? So why are our people celebrating this day instead of celebrating Passover? So we got to continue to go to the lost among our people, you know, our people that are just wrapped up in tradition, wrapped up in whatever religious denomination they may be in, and just try to wake them up and bring them out of them religious denominations and bring them back into the fold, back into the true fold, back into the same fold that the Messiah was in and all of the prophets and the apostles and everyone we read about in these scriptures. So, you know, it takes time. It takes because our people have been lied to so much that at this day and time, the lie sounds like the truth to them, and the truth sounds like a lie. And I'm sure a lot of people on this line can attest to that fact, you know, depending on how long you've known this truth. Maybe it's 2 years, maybe it's 5 years, maybe it's 10 years or however long. But if you go back to a time when you did not know this truth and did not understand this truth, you were thinking that whatever you were in at the time was the truth, right? So so we got to go to them, and we got to be bold when we go to them, and we got to present this truth with boldness and righteousness, but out of love as well, you know, not a way that we're like, that we're just tearing them down personally, but we'll tear down the doctrine, but then build them up. You know, once you tear something down, you got to build it up. So, but we know about this truth is that this truth is not very widely accepted. There are going to be few that make it, but I want to go to the book of Matthew chapter 7. Just read a few verses, you know, nothing too heavy. If you guys do have a comment or question, of course, you could push one and just talk to me about, you know, whatever you got to say as well. Like I say, I don't really have too much too heavy to go into, but I'm going to read Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Just talk about how we know it's not, this truth is not for everybody, and everybody's not going to accept this truth because everybody wasn't given this truth. It's a such thing as predestination as well. You know, it's a such thing as being called as well. So when you know and you understand this truth, you have to be grateful that the Almighty called you, and gave you an ear to listen and an ear to understand this truth. But in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, it says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in through it." Verse 14, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So there'll be few people that find this way that we're talking about now, the way of eternal life. All right. So, you know, we got millions and millions of different Christian denominations, millions and millions of Muslims, all these different religions across the face of the earth. But we're a part of that few, right? We're a part of that few. And the vast majority of these people and religions follow what we consider the scriptures or the holy scriptures, you know, what some would call the Bible. So the fact that they follow it is just as simple as opening it up. Let's get some understanding out of the Most High's word. Everything we read, we want to get knowledge, wisdom, and understanding from this, because the Almighty is teaching us lessons all throughout these scriptures. Right, all throughout the scriptures. But with that being said, let me go to Book of Revelation, chapter 12. And I'm going to read verse 9, Revelation 12 and 9. "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So as we look at this and we say, wait a minute, it says the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, which is called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. So if Satan deceiveth the whole world, right, but another scripture that tells you, except for the very elect, right? So you want to know, how do you know if you're deceived? How do you know that these different brothers and sisters are deceived? Because they're all going to tell you that they have the truth. And they're going to tell you that you're deceived or somebody else deceived. Every single religious denomination will tell you that they're the ones that have the truth, and this scripture don't apply to them. This scripture applies to everybody outside of their group, right? The Baptist is going to tell you that. The Catholic is going to tell you. Every single religious denomination will tell you that. But how can we decipher through the madness? The way to decipher through the madness is this. If you can go to the scriptures and show everything, every religious holiday that you're doing, you can open the scriptures and read it. You can show what the Messiah and the apostles did it. You can show what the Most High commanded it. You can show what Moses did it and Jeremiah. All these people that we all agree were on the right path. These people that we all agree were righteous men, right? And if they're doing something opposite than what you're doing, then you're the ones who deceive. But if you're doing the same thing that they're doing, then you're the ones that's not deceived. It's just as simple as that. And those of us that call ourselves Messianic Israelites, we're the only ones that could stand on this word and go and face, whether it's a Catholic, a Baptist, a Witness, Episcopalian, whatever denomination you want to name, we're the only ones that could take the Almighty's word and stand on it and go line by line and verse by verse and see where our actions and our celebrations, our holy days that we keep, and everything that we do and believe matches up with the word of the Most High. So therefore, we are not those people that are deceived, right? It's very, very simple, and it's just that simple. And this is the simplicity that we have to get to our people. This is, it's just as simple as I'm explaining it to y'all who's listening in the listening audience right now. It's just as simple that we got to go get it to our people, right? So we don't read nothing about what? Easter eggs, bunnies, Christ dying on Friday, rising on Sunday, Lent, Ash Wednesday, Easter Sunday, Palm, and all this different stuff, eating fish every Friday. We don't read about none of this stuff. And all this stuff is the season that we're in now. It's coming up right now, and in the next few weeks, this is stuff the whole world is going to be doing, putting ashes on their foreheads, right, eating fish every Friday. You know what I mean? But what are the righteous going to be doing? The righteous are going to be doing what? The Passover, the Sabbath day, which comes every week, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread is coming up this week as well, right? This is what the righteous is going to be doing. Because why? This is what the Messiah did. This is what the apostles did. This is what Moses did. And most importantly, this is what the Almighty, whose rightful name, whose true name is Yahweh, commanded the people to do. And it's just that simple. So Satan deceived the whole world except for the very elect. Now we know who the elect is, right? It's very simple. You know who the elect is because they follow that righteous path. They're in that narrow gate. There'll be few people to find their way in that narrow gate. But let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. And y'all, you know, push this show after it's over. You know, send it to your friends that are Christians, your friends that you're ready to keep Easter, your friends that's going to church this Sunday, and just have them listen in. Just tell them to grab their Bible and just listen in, you know, for an hour at a time, and, you know, and get back with them. See what they think about it. And if they truly... if the Most High truly called them, they'll hear the Most High's voice, right? Like the Messiah said, my people are my sheep, hear my voice. But Matthew 24 and verse 24, it says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Right, but it's not possible for the very elect to be deceived. But people are going to show great signs and wonders in these last days. And if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, don't let that always fool you, right? Because everybody looks for signs and wonders, which I'm not denying these signs and wonders as well. But don't always think of, oh, somebody's going to do a miracle like Moses did with splitting the Red Sea and all this different type of thing, which some false prophets in the last days may do great miracles like that as well, right? Because this is what the Messiah prophesied. But sometimes it's just as simple as a false prophet can come and you look at them and you say, well, wait a minute, they have to be right because their congregation is 10,000 people in there every week. Right, because these are the type of things that our people look at from week to week and look at from day to day. Right, they'll go to somewhere just because of the numbers of people. Right, whether it's a Christian denomination or whether it's an Israelite denomination. Right, they don't look at the numbers, look at truth. If they have 10 people in there, look at truth. If they have 10,000 people in there, look at truth. Your objective must be truth because truth is the path to eternal life. And that's the goal that we're all trying to reach, eternal life, right? So so just keep that in mind. And whatever path you go to, make sure it's about truth. All right, let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 11. Romans, the 11th chapter. Let's see if we can glean a little bit from here. If I could get to Romans real quick, chapter 11. I'm going to just read verses 1 through 5. When I get there, Romans 11, 1 through 5. It says, and I say then, has Elohim cast away his people? Elohim forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Elohim have not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Woe ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to Elohim against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of Elohim unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of the deity. Verse 5, even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And what I want to say right now, in 2018, there's still a remnant according to the election of grace. So there was a remnant in the days of Elias or Elijah. There was a remnant in the days of Paul, who was speaking this in Romans chapter 11. And there's a remnant in today. Write down 2018. And what does the remnant mean? A smaller amount of people who are not falling for worshiping false deities, right? So when you keep Easter, you're worshiping a false deity, right? And let's let that be known very, very clearly, because the history of that is all about a pagan goddess of fertility that the Almighty commanded us not to worship any other deity. And to worship any deity means you honor and respect them and you obey the rites and the rituals associated with that deity. That is worshiping them, right? Our people actually don't understand what true worship is. Remember the Messiah said the true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth, right? And it says that, and the scripture also lets you know that if you serve me, or if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So true worship is what? The keeping of the Most High's commandments, and or the keeping of any other deities, pagan rituals and rites, right? So if you're doing these things to that deity, then that's who you worship. And if you're not doing what the Almighty said, then you don't worship the Almighty. So it's just black and white when it comes to the Most High. There's no in the middle, there's no in between, right? People say that all the time, where I don't really follow the Bible, but I'm not a bad person, and I don't this and that, but I'm pretty sure I'll still make eternal life. Like, no, you either worship the Most High or you don't, right? And if you don't, it's only two places you're going to go, either the lake of fire or you're going to inherit eternal life, right? And the only way you inherit eternal life is if you're sold out for the Most High Yah. And that's it. There's no in between. There's no in between. So you got to make up your mind and you got to realize, why are we even here today, right? The age-old question for man is what? Why am I even here? What does this all mean? Well, this is the answer, right? The Almighty laid it out throughout many prophets and many books and many scriptures that the Almighty laid it out, what we're here for and what we need to do. Okay, so let me hit a few more scriptures. Let me go to the book of Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, let's go there as well. Genesis 6, verses 5 through 13 is where we'll hit. Genesis 6, 5 through 13. All right, Genesis 6, verse 5. And Elohim saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented Yahweh that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And Yahweh said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. For it repented me that I have made them. And Noah found grace in the eyes of Yahweh. Verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with Elohim. That's how we want to be. We want to walk with the Most High. We want to be just and perfect. Right? Verse 10, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was corrupt before Elohim, and the earth was filled with violence. Same as it is today. The whole earth is filled with violence. And what did the Messiah say? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Right? Meaning his second coming. Verse 12. And Elohim looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And Elohim said, Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Right? So this was the time that the earth was so corrupt that the Almighty wanted to start over. Right? He wanted to start over. And we know what happened next. The flood came, you know, and only 8 people were saved through the flood. Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and their wives. And it started all over from there. Started all over from there. All right? Let's stay in this book of Genesis. Let's go to chapter 12. But what we see from what we just read is what? There's a small group of people always that are doing right. Right? Don't follow the crowd. Right? And then what we teach our children as well, don't follow the crowd. You know what I mean? A small group of people is what's doing right in all these generations. They're known as the elect. It was like that in Noah's day, like that in Elijah's day, like that in Paul's day, and it's like that in our day. All right? The masses of the people is going to be doing Easter egg hunts. The masses of the people is going to be doing everything that the world is doing. You can't tell the difference today between a so-called believer's lifestyle and the world's lifestyle because they're the same. They're intertwined because they're not true believers, right? But when you keep the Almighty's commandments, everybody notices that you're different. Everybody notices. They say, hey, why you don't eat these different foods that we eat? Why you don't talk the way we talk? Why you don't do all these different things that we do, right? So it's a total different thing. And the Almighty told us all the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6 that we were what? A special and a peculiar people unto the Most High. The Most High let us know that we were set apart. We were supposed to be different, holy, set apart and different between all other peoples, right? And we were a peculiar people, a special people, and a special treasure. All of these different things that we do is what makes us special because we're doing what the Almighty told us to do, what the Almighty commanded us to do, and what the Almighty is going to give us the blessing for doing, right? And the ultimate blessing is what? Life and life eternal. This is something that, you know, a lot of brothers don't focus on a lot, you know, it's eternal life, especially them Tanakh-only brothers. So it's just something that our people look for a lot of times is like, oh, we want to go back home to Israel. We want to go back to our land. That's very good. I mean, that's a great thing, right? But we also want to go to New Jerusalem, right? Not just Jerusalem, but New Jerusalem. I've been to Jerusalem over there. And it's just as the Messiah said it was, trodden down by the Gentiles, right? It's trodden down by the Gentiles all over. And that's just what it is, you know? So it's not so great of a place when all your people is not there. When you go in there and you're seeing imposters in your land, right? But it's going to be great when we're all there. It's going to be great when we're there and Yahweh Shah HaMashiach is there, right? That's when it's going to be great again, you know, as it was in the days of King David when we had our kingdom set up and things like that. But if I can go to Genesis 12, verse 1 through 5, it says, "And Yahweh has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And Abram departed. And Abram departed as Yahweh had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came." So, again, just another way, because as you know, the context of these scriptures, Abram had to get away from his people, right? Because his people didn't worship the Most High, right? His father, Terah, was a pagan, right? Abraham's father had many deities and idols and things like that. So the Almighty wants to separate his people all the time, separate them, right? And he calls out certain ones and certain individuals that the Almighty will pick and choose. It's called the election according to grace. Right. But you have to make your calling sure. When the Almighty call you, you have to answer the call and you got to heed the call. And you can hear and you can feel that voice that the Most High is calling you. Right. So never neglect the Most High's calling. Never turn away from the Most High's calling. It's the greatest gift in life for the Most High to call you. It's the greatest gift in life. It truly is. So definitely that's something to keep in mind. And to always keep in mind that the Most High's calling is the greatest gift, and you don't want to let anything stand in that way, right? Or anyone stand in that way. If anything or anyone is standing in their way, then that person is going to have to either go, or that person is going to have to succumb to the truth of the Most High, just as you are, because nothing is greater than salvation, and nothing is able to be risked more than salvation. I mean, nothing should be risked over your salvation. That's what I'm trying to say. So so definitely just keep that in mind. So with these scriptures we've been dealing with, it's just really dealing with how the Messiah talked about. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and narrow is the way that leadeth to eternal life. Make sure you're on that narrow path, right? And the only way you'll know you're on a narrow path, if your lifestyle and your beliefs are following the scriptures, right? And that's what the scriptures are for, right? The scriptures, the word Torah means instructions. These are instructions. This book is our instruction book and our guide book, right? It's our instructions. So if the Almighty tells you to remember the seventh day of the week, as he says in Genesis 2 and verse 1, and keep it holy, and this is the day you don't do no work. This is the day you have a holy convocation, which means you gather together. This is the day that you are able to come out and you learn the scriptures, right? But then if you and your religious congregation or your pastor have you going on the first day of the week, that's the first mistake right there. First and greatest mistake. Because as I've noticed over the years, When people start to keep the Sabbath day, they start to learn and they start to grow. And this is the time and the place that it's hot for you to really learn all the other things concerning the Most High and the truth of the scriptures on how to live your life pleasing to the Most High when you're coming out and congregating every Sabbath day. But likewise, over the years, what I've noticed is that when the Sabbath day goes away from the people, shortly after, everything else goes. And you don't want that to be you, right? So we'll have people, you know, so just keep that in mind because it's a great thing. And how we keep it, what does it say in Isaiah 56? Let's go there real quick. This is how we should be on the Sabbath day. We should look forward to it. And this is how the minds and the mind state of the people. I think I want Isaiah 58, not 56. Isaiah chapter 58. This is how your Sabbath day should be. I'm going to read verse 13. Isaiah 58 and 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight. So the Most High wants you to call it a delight. The holy of Yahweh, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thy own pleasure. So the Most High wants you to honor him on the Sabbath day, not doing your own ways or finding your own pleasure. Why? Because we have 6 days to find our own pleasure and do our own ways, nor speaking thy own words. Then thou shalt delight thyself in Yahweh, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. So the Most High offers a blessing for you when you keep the Sabbath and you call it a delight and you look forward to it. You look forward to fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters and having a holy convocation. We're all gathering together and having a feast, right? Because the scripture says the Sabbath is a feast, which means you should eat good. The scripture says the Sabbath is a holy convocation, which means we should gather together. The scripture says the Sabbath is a day not to do any work. The scripture says that the Sabbath is a day that we honor the Most High by learning his word and learning about the Most High and singing songs to the Most High and praises to the Most High and praying to the Most High and worshiping the Most High and all these different things that we do, right? So what else does it mean? And what else should we do? The word Sabbath literally means rest, right? So you want to get rest, you know? It's the one day or 2 days that you're able to sleep in a little later. You know what I mean? So you want to get rest, be refreshed, and come to the Most High and be able to do what we need to do. And everybody come together and bring all their gifts and all their talents that the Almighty has bestowed upon them, and we bring them to the table because truly our gifts are not for us, right? Your musical talent is for the people, for the edification of the people, right? Your knowledge and your information, your wisdom, whatever gift or talent the Almighty is giving you, is for the edification of the people. Right? Your all these abilities that we have to come together as one body, we come together on that day and present it to the people and for the people, and everybody do what they do because it's not a spectator thing. It's not a spectator sport. We're all actively involved in the building of this spiritual kingdom that we're doing. So just kind of touch up on this Sabbath day thing. What else can I touch upon? Because like I said, I want y'all to send this thing to y'all family members that we are always diligently trying to wake up and trying to show the truth. The Messiah's death and resurrection. So we know that they're being taught, and of course we know that it's totally false, that the Messiah died on a Friday and rose Sunday morning. But his exact words were, you will know when he was asked, what is the sign that we will know that you're the Messiah, pretty much. And he said, the only sign you will be given is just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish or the great whale 3 days and three nights, so shall I, meaning the Son of Man, be in the hurt out of the earth or be dead for 3 days and three nights, right? For 3 days and three nights. That means what? Three daylight periods and three nighttime periods. three times when it's daylight, three times when it's dark. You cannot get that from him dying Friday night and rising Sunday morning, right? That'll be two nights and one day. It's just mathematically impossible. So obviously there's a problem here, right? Because some of them try to quote him and say he said 3 days. No, he didn't say 3 days. He said 3 days and three nights. And they'll just try to count Friday, Saturday, Sunday. No, that's not how you count it. He said 3 days and three nights. You got to count it by days and nights. So that's another thing that there's a major problem there. Because what that's telling you is this. In that scripture, the Messiah vividly said that this is the reason, or this is the prophecy that you'll know I am the Messiah, that I'll be there for 3 days and three nights. And if you believe in a Messiah that died Friday night and rose Sunday morning, then you have another Messiah. Because, again, he was asked, what shall be the sign that we're going to know you're the one? He said he's going to be there for 3 days and three nights. That's the sign. That is the sign that you have the true Messiah. That's the sign that you have the right Messiah. And if your Messiah that you believe in died Friday night and rose Sunday morning, which is two nights and one day, then you have the wrong Messiah. Thus is why you call him by the wrong name. Thus is why you believe he came to get rid of the law, right? When the true Messiah came and all he did was keep the law and fulfill the law, not destroy the law. But you believe he destroyed the law because that's another Messiah, right? You believe that the Messiah you believe in doesn't keep any commandments and got rid of all the commandments. That's another Messiah, right? The Messiah that you believe in condones Christianity. And what I mean by Christianity is Christmas. He was born on December 25th and Easter. And all of these pagan rites and rituals you attribute to the false Messiah, the one that died on Friday and rose Sunday morning, which is just a figment of the people's imagination. But the true Messiah, the people that believe in the true Messiah, keeps all of the righteous holy days, from the Sabbath day to the Passover to the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Weeks, Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, the New Moons, all these different things, the sabbatical year, all of these different things, right? The false Messiah, all of the people believe in this false Messiah, all of the people that believe he died Friday and rose Sunday morning, they'll eat any type of meat you put on their plate. But the people that believe in the true Messiah will only eat clean meats, clean according to what the Most High said was clean. And the Messiah backed it all up in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. And it says, think not that I am come to destroy the law. What does that mean? Let me put it in regular English for you. Do not think that I am come to destroy the law. So that should be the end of it right there, right? The Messiah said, don't even think that I came to destroy the law. But the minute you go into a Catholic church, a Baptist church, a Methodist, Episcopalian, Witness, any of these places, right, every single place they meet on Sunday, we can knock them all out with the one command, the Sabbath day. Once you understand the Sabbath day and you understand that it's right, you understand it's not done away with, you understand that we still have to keep it, and you're trying to find which one is the truth out of all these different religions, that one commandment knock out 99% of the religions, that one commandment, right? But the Messiah says here, do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. He said he did not come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill the law. But again, when they read that, because they have no understanding, they think that it means he came to destroy the law or he came to get rid of the law. Obviously, it don't mean that, because he clearly said, I did not come to destroy it or get rid of it. I came to fulfill it. But they use fulfill like it means destroy. That will read, I didn't come to destroy it, but I came to destroy it. That's literally what they're saying, right? Fulfill it only means that he kept the law himself, and it also means that a lot of what those laws, the spirituality portion of the law, which those laws pointed to, was him fulfilling certain laws, right? But he says He didn't even fulfill all of the law yet. There's still more laws to come that he has to fulfill upon his second coming. But look at verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. See, he just told you right there, all is not fulfilled. All right, so until heaven and earth pass, not one jot or tittle shall pass from the law until it all be fulfilled. And it's not all fulfilled yet, which is why the law is not done away with yet, which is why nothing shall pass from the law yet. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So when you do the law and you teach the law, you're great when in the kingdom of heaven. He's speaking something future tense right here, right? This is future tense. So the Messiah clearly said the law is not passing away, right? It says in verse 18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or tittle shall in no way pass from the law. So the obvious question is, did heaven and earth pass away yet? No, heaven and earth didn't pass away yet. Therefore, not one jot or tittle shall pass from the law. What's a jot or tittle? It's like in English saying you dot every I and you cross every T. That's all he's saying, right? Nothing shall pass from the law until heaven and earth passes away. And this is something that our brothers and sisters need to know, and they need to consider, and they need to look at, and they need to read and evaluate and meditate on. All right, meditating is something that we need to do a lot. We need to meditate on the scriptures. We need to meditate on the understanding that we've been given, because you can get a lot of more knowledge and information by meditating on the Almighty's word. But with that being said, let me get a precept for this verse. And the precept is Isaiah chapter 66. Because the Messiah clearly said, not until when heaven and earth passes away. Isaiah 66 and verse 22. Guess what? One day heaven and earth will pass away. It says, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me. So this is the time that a new heaven and a new earth is going to come. I'm going to read it again. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith Yahweh, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath day to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yahweh. So the Most High is saying here, look, even when he makes a new heaven and a new earth, we're still going to be keeping the new moons. We're still going to be keeping the Sabbath day. So how can anyone read this, which is future tense from where we're at right now today, and say the Sabbath is done, it's over, it's done away with, we shouldn't keep it no more, when it clearly lets you know that we're going to be keeping it even when the new heaven and the new earth comes? And it clearly lets you know that the Messiah kept him when he was on earth. And it clearly lets you know that after he died, was there for 3 days and 3 nights, rose from the dead, and ascended back up into the heavens. We can read in the book of Acts, after he was already in heaven, seated at the right hand of his Father, we can read in the book of Acts that the disciples and Paul were still keeping the Sabbath day. So obviously they didn't think it was done away with. So this whole Sunday thing, there's absolutely no excuse for this Sunday thing. You have to keep the Sabbath day. And the minute you start keeping it, and the minute you walk into these real places of worship, right, the real synagogues that the Almighty set up throughout the land for the people to come and learn, then you'll start to get some understanding. You'll realize you've been lied to, and you'll realize what this book is really talking about, right? Because the churches are not doing nothing but lying to the people, right? Because it's what the Messiah say, it's the blind leading who? The blind. The blind leading the blind. But with that being said, let me go to the book of Revelation, because we're going to see again that what? One day a new heaven and a new earth is going to come. And not until a new heaven and a new earth come will some of the laws pass away. All of them won't pass away, just as we've seen that the Sabbath day will still be there and the new moon will still be there. But some of the laws will pass away, right? I'm not going to get into the whole details of that right now. But let's go to Revelation chapter 21. But that's nothing we need to worry about right now. We need to worry about keeping the Almighty's law right now. All right. So Revelation chapter 21 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." So are we living in a new earth where there's no sea? No, we're not. We're living in the same old earth. And since we're living in the same old earth, according to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18, the Messiah says, "Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, nothing shall pass from the law." So obviously we're still in the same old earth. Heaven and earth didn't pass away yet, but we read about heaven and earth will pass away one day in Isaiah 66. Now we're reading about it in Revelation chapter 21, and we're not there yet. So that means what? We still have to keep the Almighty's law. And the only place you're going to learn the Almighty's law, you can't go to church and learn it, because the churches, as most of our people know of today, do not teach the Almighty's law, right? And that's why every time when we try to teach our people and tell them, and they start to come and they study, and everything we say, we're reading out of the book. And they say, "I never heard that before." Even though I've been going to church for 5 and 10 and 15 and even 20 years, they never heard these things before, right? Because the churches are set up to deceive the people. They're set up not to teach the people the truth, right? So we know that what are we getting ready to do right now? On Friday, we're going to be keeping the Passover. So let me go there and show you why we're keeping the Passover real quick. Leviticus chapter 23. This is part of the Almighty's law that we must keep. The Almighty didn't suggest that we keep it. The Almighty commanded us to keep it. All right, Leviticus chapter 23. And at the same time, when we're getting ready to keep Passover, what are the other people going to be doing? You're ready to keep Easter. Nowhere in the book does it tell you to keep Easter. Nowhere in the book is Easter talked about or mentioned, right? But in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 5, it says, "In the 14th day of the first month at even is Yahweh's Passover." On the 14th day of the first month is the Most High's Passover. And for those that don't know, I know we have new people listening that may be not familiar. He's not talking about January the 14th. He's talking about the 14th day of the first month according to the Hebrew calendar, the calendar which the Most High gave us, right? The calendar that we use in America, when this scripture was written, the calendar we use in America is called the Gregorian calendar. When this scripture was written, there was no such thing as a Gregorian calendar. All right, the real new year always comes in the month of March or April, around the springtime, okay? And when you think about it, it only makes sense, right? Because even if you look up the history of holidays that we never really looked up, all of our people just took everything for granted. Nobody ever wondered, April Fools, what did they get this from? If you start to do research, everybody has smartphones in their hand, but nobody looks up anything worthwhile. Nobody looks up anything for their salvation, right? So if you start to look up things like April Fool's Day, and you'll find out that the true new year was around April the 1st, right? That's why they called it April Fool's Day, because what happened when they switched the new year from that time, what's known as the springtime in this land, to being January the 1st, all the people that were still keeping it on January the 1st, the people that started doing it on January was calling the other people April Fools, right? They started to make fun of them because they were still keeping the same old New Year that people have been keeping for a long time. But let me give you some more proof. All right, so April, May, June, July, August, September, October. So hold on. If you start the new year, it's always in the month of March or April. All right. The Most High's new year. Sometimes it falls in March. Sometimes it falls in April. But if you just count the months from there. So let's say it started in March, right? Which it did start in March this year. Okay. So March would be the first month, April would be the second month, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. That will make September the seventh month, right? Which will make October the eighth month, right? So think about it. Why is it called October? Because it's the eighth month. OCT is oct. Oct is a prefix that means eight. That's why octopus have eight legs. An octagon have eight sides, right? And if you look up that word oct in the dictionary, it means eight, right? Even if you look up in most good dictionaries, if you look up the month October, it'll tell you it used to be the eighth month, but now it's the tenth month, right? It's the same thing with a lot of these months. If you look up December, December is the 12th month right now. Well, December used to be the 10th month because DEC, right, means 10. Just like a decimal is 10, like the 10th place and different things like that. A decade is how many years? It's 10 years. So if you look up in most good dictionaries, you look up December, it'll tell you it used to be the 10th month, now it's the 12th month. So somebody has changed the calendar on us. Somebody has changed the time. But this is not anything that the Almighty missed, right? And how do we know? Because the Almighty already told us that this would happen. And what did the Almighty tell us it would happen? Let's go to the book of Daniel. Because all we have to do is trust in the Most High with all our heart and lead not into our own understanding. Because the Almighty told us all of these things were going to happen, right? But our people do not consider. They do not read and they don't understand, okay? So let me see. I want to go to the book of Daniel. I believe I went around the seventh chapter and the 25th verse. And this is what the Almighty prophesied and let us know. It says, Daniel 7 and 25 says, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand. A time and times and the dividing of time. So it talks about how this fourth kingdom, all right, because when you read through Daniel, it's talking about the fourth beast, right? So Daniel had, he had prophesied about four different empires that were going to come. The first empire was the Babylonian Empire. The second empire he prophesied about was the Medo-Persian Empire. Then after that, it was the Greek Empire and the Roman Empire, right? And he talks about how each empire would be and how they would do. Now, the Roman Empire started a few thousand years ago, you know, around the time of the Messiah, you know, a little before the time of the Messiah. And that's the same empire that's still ruling today. All right. So he prophesied here that this empire or this fourth beast would change times and laws. And what did they do? They changed times and laws. From 2,000 years ago to today, there was different guys that came up on the scene, different Catholic monks or priests and all these different people, and they changed the dates and they changed the times and they changed the laws. And you could go back through history and see the certain dates where they changed months and they changed, they'll say, well, this used to be the new year, now this is the new year, and things like that. But one thing that always come up with people that find out this information, they say, well, how do you know the Sabbath day is Saturday? Because it's all documented history. And the one thing that they never changed was the seven-day cycle, right? They changed months, they changed days, but they never changed the seven-day cycle. Right. If it was a Sunday, was always followed by Monday, was always followed by Tuesday, was always followed by Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Right. But it was a time in history where it was like the it was the eighth day of the month. And then they made the next day the 15th day of the month. But the day was, I think it was a Wednesday, but the next day was still Thursday. So they never changed the 7 day cycle. And that seven-day cycle is verified all throughout history and all throughout every single nation's culture, because every nation, just about every nation around the world, the day that we call Saturday, they call it the day of rest in their language, right? So that testifies to the true seventh day of the week. It testifies to that. So what we present here is the truth that the Almighty had laid out throughout the scriptures, And again, don't get wrapped up in traditionalism and paganism, because broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And the Most High said, that was the very first verse I read in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. He said, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and there be many people that will find their way in it. But narrow is the path that leadeth to life, and there be few people that find their way in it. So what we're teaching is that narrow path that leadeth to life, that leadeth to eternal life, right? And that narrow path leadeth to eternal life. We know that we're on that right path because we're doing what the Most High said to do. So if you go to your churches and they say, have you celebrating Easter? Ask them, show me in the scriptures, right? They go by the same Bible. I'm not reading any other Bible for those that are new. Most of our people read the King James Version. That's what I'm reading. And that's the reason why I read it, because that's what most of our people read, right? So when you go to church, I think that pagan holiday is the first, April the 1st this year. You ask them, why, according to the Bible, don't give me your opinion, your philosophy, your anything. Show me in the Bible where the Most High told us to celebrate Easter. And if he can't show you, then you don't need to be there. You need to leave. Because it's not in there. And since it's not in there, now you got to go do some research outside of the scriptures to know where this thing even came from. Because it's not something the Most High told us to do. And when you find out where it came from, you'll find out that you're actually worshiping another God and breaking the first commandment where the Most High said, do not worship any other God, any other Elohim, which is the Hebrew word for God or gods. Right? So it's the same thing. If you ask them, hey, Christ said he was going to be dead for 3 days and three nights, but you're saying he died on Friday and rose Sunday morning. How is that 3 days and three nights? They won't have an answer for it. Their answer is, we don't know everything in the scriptures, but these are simple questions. You know, they'll give you some old mystery thing like the secret things belong to the Most High, but those things that are revealed belong to the children of men. Which is a scripture, which is true. But these are not secret things. They're right here in the book. The problem is those people who most of our people call pastors were not called to teach. Right? They were not called to teach. They were not called to handle the Most High's word. They seen a business opportunity and they took it, just like people starting any other business. But this is not a business for us. This is truth. It's the way of life. And we're trying to wake our people up to the knowledge of truth so we can see, receive eternal life and have a great time on the way to it, you know, a great time in righteousness. But we got about 1 minute on the show. So, again, y'all listen in tomorrow to the debate I'm going to have on the radio show called Debate Talk for You. I'm going to give y'all the phone number again one more time. Let me find it real quick. It is area code 319-527-6239. It'll be tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, that number is area code 319-527-6239. And thanks, everybody, for listening in. And join us again tomorrow for the debate and next Monday radio show. And just want to say shalom, shalom.